Good morning and welcome to the Marcus Today pre-market podcast. My name is Henry Jennings. It is Monday, the 16th of January. And as usual, with all the information contained in this podcast, it is general advice only. So please do your own research. Contact your own financial advisor regarding any of the thoughts, ideas, or insights in this podcast. All right, let's kick things underway with the scores on the doors as usual. We had the Dow Jones on Friday up 113 points, or 0.33%. It did have a low of 274 and a high of 152 up. So 274 down and a high of 152 up, closing at 34,303. The Nasdaq was up 78 points, or 0.71%, to 11,079. And the S&P 500 in the middle for diddle, up 0.4%, up 16 points, 3,999, just so close to that 4,000 level that we talked about last week. The VIX volatility index fell to a one-year low, down 2.9%, 18.35%, or 18.35. Nothing to fear here at the moment. That's what the market is saying. The VIX volatility index, one-year low. Our SPY futures up 35 points, continuing the rally, up 0.48%. Tonight, though, we do have Martin Luther King birthday holiday in the US, so we will have US markets closed tonight. So we'll be left to our own devices for a couple of days. In the bond yields on Friday, US 10 years, 3.498. up just 5.1 basis points, and 2 years, 4.22%. The Aussie 10-year, 3.61%. Bitcoin having a good rally, up nearly 3%, 19,417. The Aussie dollar steady around 69.76. In US stocks trading, Apple was up 1%, Meta up 0.2%, Google up 1.1%, Microsoft up 0.3%, Amazon up 3%, Tesla fell 0.9%, Netflix up 0.8%, JP Morgan up 2.5%, Citigroup up 1.7%, Goldman up 1.1%, Bank of America up 2.2%, Wells Fargo up 3.2% as well, and Block, the artist formerly known as Square, was down 0.2%. We had results season kicking off on Friday in the US. JP Morgan was better on their result. They beat estimates. Citigroup was also better on their results. Bank of America and Wells Fargo also better on their results. We do have Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley kicking off the week in the US. So we shall see what they bring. But don't forget, there is a holiday in the US on Monday, their time, for Martin Luther King Jr.'s holiday. Some of the analysts speak, and some of the stuff coming out of the US. The S&P 500 is expected to report a year-over-year decline in earnings of around, well, minus 3.9% for the fourth quarter, which would mark the first year-over-year decline in earnings reported by the index since the third quarter of 2020, which was down 5.7%. And Bank of America sees the S&P 500 trading in the range of 36 to 4200. And currently, of course, we are at 4,000, so 3,600 to 4,200. We're pretty much slap in the middle of that range, towards the top end of that range. And Goldman's top US equity strategist, David Kostin, has a contrarian view on earnings and has identified 46 stocks that investors should consider holding. Meanwhile, Goldman Sachs as well has raised its price forecast for aluminium, saying higher demand in Europe and China could lead to supply shortages. In other news, China's top economic planner said they will tighten supervision of iron ore pricing after the steel makers' ingredients surged in recent months. They're going to crack down on illegal activities, including spreading false information, hoarding, and price gouging to keep the iron ore market stable. Not to push it down, but stable. But certainly, this is not the first time The National Development and Reform Commission is cracking down on iron ore pricing, or trying to at least crack down. It hasn't worked in the past. Maybe it'll work in the future. Who knows? Looking at commodities then, Brent crude was up 1.8%, $85.34, up $1.52. WTI up 79.85. That was up $1.58, or 2.02%. So going pretty well. Gold having another good night in the US. $21.90 up 1.15%, $19.19.9 for the gold price. So we're going to continue to see interest in our gold sector. Not much else in copper though, 0.14% up. Nickel continuing to be volatile, down 1.6%. Aluminium up 2.5%. Remember that Goldman Sachs upgrade there. Zinc up 2.2%. Lead up 2.1%. And tin doing really well, up 5.3%. Tin is used in electronic circuit boards as a replacement for lead, which of course is poisonous. Iron ore up 0.86%, and we are seeing falls in lithium continue. Certainly that lithium carbonate price is under pressure at the moment again, so that's going to certainly affect lithium stocks. In our mining stocks overseas, BHP was up 0.4%, Rio down 0.2%, so nothing shaking but the trees there. Freeport down 0.1%, Alcoa following that aluminium theme up 2.4%, Teck up 1.1%, Anglo down 1.5%, Glencore up 2.7%, Vale up 0.3%, Albemarle in the lithium space down around 0.4% there. So nothing very exciting in the lithium space there. No other standouts really in the US. A little bit of interest starting to build in some of those US home builders. Barrick up 1.2% and Pult Home up 0.9%. In local news today, well, the Canadian group Brookfield and their US private equity firm EIG Partners are looking for more time for the Origin Energy bid. That's an $18.4 billion bid for Origin Energy, ORG being the code, of course. They have struggled to get things together during the holiday period. The exclusive look at Origin's books is due to expire at the close of business today. And Wesfarmers and Telstra are looking to sell corporate bonds directly to retail investors. It would need red tape to be wound back on such deals. But it would be a way of attracting new sources of capital for companies in Australia. Yields surging to their highest levels in over a decade for those corporate bonds. There's about $10 billion worth of long-term debt out there for ASX blue chips, but certainly some of those corporate bonds could appeal to some investors looking to diversify away. In latest numbers as well out from the ETF world, they had around $130 billion in investor assets under management at the end of last year, which is a 2.7% decline, losing about $4 billion in funds over the year. The billionaire Chris Ellison has urged shareholders of the company Norwest Energy to ignore the board and accept his $440 million offer from Mineral Resources. You would expect that, wouldn't you? And one of the non-bank lenders, MoneyMe, has backed covering the buy now, pay later industry with the same type of regulation as other credit providers. And in news out over the weekend as well, Ioneer has landed a $1 billion US government loan backing for its Rhyolite Ridge project in Nevada, something that we've talked about and a stock we hold in the small cap portfolio. The stock was up 33% in US trade. It does have a US listing, and it was up 33% to around 65 cents. So good day for Ioneer shareholders today. Certainly is going to do wonders for the share price. Whether it can kick on, we'll wait to see. Closed here on Friday at 45 and a half. As I say, in the US market, it was trading at 65 cents. So a good day in store. Question of the day today. Will the US reporting season be as bad as some expect, Or will we get a slight reprieve from the US company reports? Certainly, so far, the banks have been looking okay, but of course, it is the first day of a very, very big season. But do you think the market has been too pessimistic about US earnings? Well, that's it from me today. Thanks very much for listening. Have a great day. And as always, may the trading gods be with you.